This anointed teaching by Apostle Theo Vollmerens comes to you from Christian Family Church International.
Praise the Lord. Won't you give yourselves a great big hand clap this morning, and all those in overflow rooms as well, let them know we love them, and go ahead and give yourselves a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down this morning, won't you turn around, give somebody a high five, and let them know that you love them and you're glad to see them in church. Praise the Lord. All right. Our message today is titled, Don't Crack Under Pressure. Well, we are facing many pressures in our world today. The possibility of a third world war, we're on the brink of that right now. Praying that nothing like that's going to happen. And then, of course, we have problems in our countries. And then we have challenges in life that we face from time to time, in our families, in our finances, whatever the case might be. And so, one thing's for sure, we need to know how not to crack under pressure. This is a very important message. It's going to be helpful to all of us. And you just saw the little video I made, the promo video, of the surfer riding that massive wave. And I'm sure he had a little pressure. If that wave had fallen on him, he would have known all about it. Okay, so open your Bible, please, to 1 Peter 5, verse 7 from the Amplified Translation. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 from the Amplified Translation. You can use your New King James or your New Living or whatever translation you want. Now, the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on the Lord. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Praise God. So God makes sure we get it. All your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. I think he covered all the bases, right? In case there's anything left out, I don't think anything was. Then go to Psalm 55, verse 22. Again, I'm using the Amplified Translation. Now, this is the Old Testament this time. God says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. What a wonderful, encouraging promise from God, both in the book of Peter, in the New Testament, and in the book of Psalms in the Old. Now, an example of this is a baby nursing on its brother's breast. That little baby has no worries, no cares. God wants us to be like that in his arms. Let's have a look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 in the New Testament from the New King James Translation. God said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving. Notice that word. And the prayer of and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, if we give our problem to the Lord through prayer and then thank him for taking care of it, he will guard our hearts and minds with peace. Now, when the devil comes knocking on your door after you've prayed and given your problem to the Lord, whether it's doubt or fear or whatever it might be, answer that by saying, Mr. Devil, you've come to the wrong door. This is the praising department. I believe you're looking for the problem-solving department, and that's upstairs with Jesus. That's not here with me. Now, here is a great example of how not to crack under pressure. A great example in the Bible of how not to crack under pressure. King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah were facing total destruction, annihilation. The king was enormously worried and under huge pressure. King Jehoshaphat had to deal with this. All right, let's pick up the story then. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others, those from Mount Seir, with them besides the Amorites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now here are three nations coming against the small tribe of Judah. They must have been outnumbered at least 10 to 1, possibly even 100 to 1. Let's pick up from verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. All right, so they had a problem, no doubt about it. This is worse than the guy on the wave. The guy on the wave, he possibly could survive if that crashed on him. But here, this situation, they definitely have no answer unless the Lord delivers them. All right, so let's go to verse 7. Are you not our God, they pray, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? So here the king prays and he says, are you not our God? And you gave this land to your friend Abraham forever. There's a few things we want to notice in verse 7 here. Firstly, friend is an Old Testament word for covenant partner. So you gave it to your covenant partner Abraham. And how long? Forever. Forever. I feel sorry for those folks who are trying to remove the children of Israel from that land. They don't realize it. They are actually fighting against God himself. Because God said he gave that land to them forever. And we're going to see exactly how God deals with folks who try and kick the children of Israel out of their land here in this story. All right, so let's carry on then from verse 12. And Joseph had prayed, O our Lord, our God, will you not judge these people who come against us? For we have no power against this mighty army that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the congregation. And the Lord said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but mine. It's my battle. Now, when the prophet said, for the battle is not yours but God's, this is God speaking through the prophet to King Jehoshaphat and to his people. And he said, in essence, I've got this. Jehoshaphat, children of Israel, I've got this. This battle is mine. Now, Jesus said the same thing to us in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 5, 7, which we just read, give me your problems, cast them at my feet, and I'll take care of them. Same thing. In other words, he's saying to you and to me, give me your problem, and then he says, I've got this. God is saying, you are in covenant with me. I'm your covenant partner. I will fight your battle for you. That's what God is saying to us. He's saying, I'm your covenant partner. I'm going to fight this battle for you. Cast all your care, all your worries, all anxieties on me. I'll take care of it. I've got this. All right, go to verse 17. The prophet said to Jehoshaphat, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid of this great army. I'm on your side. We need to learn to rest in the ability of our covenant partner, God, who loves us. Our part in life's problems is to pray and give them to the Lord and then praise Him and worship Him because He's got it. He's working on it. Now we're going to see how this unfolds. Go to verse 18. And King Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. When they heard the prophet say, on God's behalf, I've got this. This battle is not yours, it's mine. They bowed in worship. Remember that. Once you've prayed and given the problem to God, bow in worship and thank Him. Why? Because He's got it. 19. The Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices soft and gentle. No, loud and high. Now the Hebrew word here for praise in verse 19 is the word halal, which means to enjoy a tremendous explosion of enthusiasm in the act of praising God. I'll say that again. To enjoy a tremendous explosion of enthusiasm in the act of praising God. That's how they praise God. The whole nation of Judah lifted up their voices and raised their hands and just exploded with praise to God after that prophecy came out. Now, that would be like, let's say, a goal scored in a World Cup soccer match, or like a final touchdown to win the game at the Super Bowl in football in America. The crowd would stand up and just go ballistic and praise and shout and scream. You know what they do. So that is exactly what halal describes. Halal is to boast of God's exploits with such excitement that others think it is foolish. Now, why would it be foolish to praise God like that? Think about it. Has Jesus on the cross done more for you or less for you than somebody taking a piece of leather with air in it and diving over a touchdown line or kicking a soccer ball into a net? Who's done more for you? Jesus on the cross or some soccer star on the field? Now, as great as that goal is, what Jesus did is far greater. Amen? So, halal is to boast of God's exploits with such excitement that others think it's foolish. We need to learn to praise God with that enthusiasm. If we can do that in a soccer match or a rugby match or a football match, surely we can do that in church and praise God that way. All right, the Bible way. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when King Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise Hallel, the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying. So the king put the praises, the choir, the worship team, in the front of the army to praise God and sing God's praises with their hands raised, shouting with enthusiasm the praises of God. They were happy, they were singing, on their way to fight a war. They were outnumbered at least 10 to 1, maybe even 100 to 1. Can you imagine that? Walking out to war, in the natural, facing certain death. No, the problem had not gone away. Those people were waiting for them. No change yet, but they were praising God, not because the problem had gone away, but because God said, I've got this. They're praising God because of his promise, I've got this. Praise Yada, the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They were singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now that word praise here is the word Yada in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for praise here, Yada, means to acknowledge God's greatness in public. By throwing out the hands and begin to proclaim to the unsaved enemy what God has done. So to praise God and let everybody know what he's done to the enemy or to your problem. When a problem confronts us, lift our hands and say, praise God, my God's got this. This battle is the Lord's. That's what we're talking about. Let's try that. Let's lift our hands and say, praise God, this problem is the Lord's. This battle is the Lord's. God's got this. Now praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give our problem over to the Lord, our covenant partner, he's taking care of it. Very important here, listen carefully now. We are not praising God to remove the problem. No, we're not praising God to remove the problem. We're praising God because his word said the battle is his. He's already got the problem, it's not ours. As far as those people were concerned marching out to the battlefield, they didn't have any problems. Even though the enemy is still waiting for them, it's not their problem, it's God's. The circumstance has not changed yet. All right, say this with me. I praise God for his word. I praise God for 1 Peter 5:7. I have given him my problem. He's got it. Hallelujah. All right, verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, and they were defeated. So the moment the children of Israel, the children of Judah, began to praise the Lord, God ambushed their enemy. Say this, the moment I begin to praise God, God begins to fight on my behalf. Again, the moment I begin to praise God, God begins to fight on my behalf. Hallelujah. 23. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. So the two nations, the Moabites, the Ammonites, turned and attacked those from Mount Seir and slew them all, killed them all. Then, after they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. They turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as the eye could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. I guess that day they just felt like they wanted to fight anybody. So they killed each other. Well, that's the way God did it. He rescued his people. We can be sure of this. If we praise God, our enemy will destroy itself. 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they slipped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. So they stripped off 3 days worth of jewelry, gold, and precious jewels to carry home. Now, can you imagine an entire army of Judah taking 3 days to carry home the gold and silver and the precious jewels? That is huge. Huge. That just shows you how many people there were out fighting against them. So, think about this. Whenever Satan brings problems our way, if we worship God, God will turn that problem into a huge blessing at the end of the day. We may not be able to carry all the spoil home. To the worshiper, problems are simply blessings in disguise. Say that. Because I'm a worshiper, problems are simply blessings in disguise. Hallelujah. The moment we begin to praise God, the battle is the Lord's. Let's say that together. The moment I begin to praise God, the battle is the Lord's. Then keep praising God. Each step you take, when you get the problem, it'll be gone. Learn to praise God in the presence of your enemy. Learn to praise God in the presence of the announcement of your problem. Because if you do, your God will fight your battle on your behalf. We praise God after we have given it to Him because we believe it's taken care of. We praise God after we give the problem to God because we believe He has got it. We believe He's got it. That's faith. That's faith. We don't praise God to remove the problem. We praise God because we believe He has already removed the problem. By faith, we believe He's got it. Amen? That's why we do it. We're going to try that right now. Not we're going to try it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. All right? So, perhaps you've got something you can write on. You can take out your pen or piece of paper or borrow one and write 2 or 3 problems down that you want to get rid of right now. Write them on your hand if you have to, but write them down. Just one word's enough to remind you. Okay, I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Write down the problem. Okay. Now, once you've written it down, just one word reminds you of your problem. Now, bow your head, close your eyes, and say this. Dear Father God, according to your word, 1 Peter 5:7, you said I must give my problem to you, and you'll take care of it. So this morning, I give this problem to you. I believe you've got it. I believe you'll fix it. I declare now, this battle is the Lord's. Praise God, the victory's mine. This battle is the Lord's, and the victory's mine. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and praise God like you mean it. Like you know He's got it. Praise Him like the problem's gone, family. Hallelujah. Because He's got it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we will see you next weekend. We love you all. And we are praying for you. You can continue praying for us. And we believe we have a revival. We'll see you on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting. Don't miss. God bless you all.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving around at this time. Thank you, Jesus. This is the most important time of the message, family. You know, I just love what Apostle Theo said. What a great lesson we've learned from the Bible. So many people are feeling the pressure of life today. You know, and if I can perhaps just at this time, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Let me tell you what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to be talking about laying a foundation of three issues that's causing perhaps anxiety in your life. Number one, the focus or the importance of money. People attach so much importance to money. The focus on self or your appearance. And then the preeminence, the more important, the preeminence of knowledge. In other words, knowledge is more important than anything else. But you know, with all the knowledge in the world, people still fail and make mistakes. If that could help you, then everything would be okay. You see, you could have all the money in the world, but if you're dying from a sickness or a disease and you don't know Jesus, your money is going to help you nothing. When you may be 25, you're without spot or wrinkle. But as you get older, you realize, I need God in my life. My beauty, for some of us, even if we're 25, our beauty can't carry us all the way. So this morning, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. We've got to be all in for Jesus, family. We've got to be all in for Jesus. And there's a way that we can do this. But this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm saying to you, perhaps you are here today, and you're saying, Pastor Johnny, I'm cracking under the pressure. But I've heard what Apostle Theo says of how I can do this. I must be anxious for nothing, and in all things in supplication, you know, give thanks to the Lord. And I heard that there's various ways of ways that I can give praise to God. I can halal, or I can tahila. In other words, an expression of my praise for God. There's something I can do. And you might be here today, say, Pastor Johnny, I don't have that. I just got pressure and I'm anxious for everything. I need someone to help me. All your money's not going to help you. Your appearance is not going to help you. All your knowledge is not going to help you. You only need one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And I promise you, as He says in His word, that He will give you a peace that will transcend everything. Your anxiety, your restlessness, whatever it is that you're going through. And this morning, as you are here, you say, Pastor Johnny, I need that peace. I need calm in my life. I need direction in my life. I need wisdom. I don't need knowledge. I need wisdom. And only Jesus can do that for you, family. So this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here this morning, you say, I've never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life, then I want you to raise your hand in a moment. Or perhaps you hear, you say, I used to serve the Lord, but I no longer do. I've done so many bad things. Pastor Johnny, you don't know what I've done. My friend, welcome to the club. There are many of us that have done perhaps similar things or even worse. You are not unique in that sense of the word, but you're in good company today, and Jesus is waiting to receive you back, restore you in your relationship with Him. Or perhaps you're here today, you say, I don't have the assurance that if I were to die today, whether I would go to heaven or hell. And my friend, if you don't choose, then one day you will have to account for your sins. But if you choose Him, you can have that peace. You can have that assurance that He is Lord of your life. So at any one of those three invitations, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. I want to restore my relationship with Jesus, or I want to have assurance of my salvation. If that is you, then today is your day. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up high. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you ready? I know you perhaps feel anxious. This is the time not to feel anxious. He will bring a peace, I promise you. One, two, three, raise your hand wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. I see those hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wherever you are, raise your hand in the name of Jesus. Now our workers are moving in and amongst the people. They're merely coming to lay their hand on your shoulder to come and agree with you in prayer, wherever you might be. Take that step today. It will be the best decision you will ever make. I promise you, where there's anxiety, you will have peace. Where there's an emptiness in your life, Jesus will fill that. Where perhaps you've got a lot of knowledge, but no wisdom, He will help you and guide you how to solve your problems. Anybody else, raise your hand now in the name and by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, wherever you are. Now I want you that raised your hand to say this prayer out aloud with me. You ready? Let's say this. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. He took my place to pay for my sins so I can be free. I am saved from going to hell. Thank you, Jesus. And from this day, I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. You are Lord of my life. You are the Son of God. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerenz. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerenz and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.